Hi, welcome to my podcast, Factor Fitting. I'm on a mission to lose weight for an operation, and in doing so, turn this overweight body into a slightly more desirable one. It's definitely going to take a while, and I might need some plastic surgery to achieve full fitty level, but I'll get there. Each week, I'll be talking about different aspects of my journey and sharing some tips on weight loss and mental health. So let's get started with this week's episode. Number 5, Blue Badge. Hi, welcome to this week's episode. Again, I want to start by thanking you all for listening. I just hit 200, though that's only downloads. There will be more streams, of course, but there's no way of knowing how many. I do ask quite a lot on social media, and I'm sorry to bang on about it, but please, if anyone's going to listen, could you download it, please? It doesn't matter if you don't actually listen to it. I mean, it still counts. And even if you delete it afterwards, I'd really appreciate it. Also, please, if you like what I do, could you share it with your friends and pass it on? Thank you. Anyway, let's get on with it. In case you don't know, the title of this episode is named after the disabled badge you get that gives certain benefits when driving. This can be a lifeline for anyone that needs them. But like everything, it's open to abuse. My dad had a blue badge. He'd been run over when he was a young lad, and he'd had operations on his knee. Despite being a footballer up to his early 20s, he struggled most of his life with his knees. He always said, though, that he'd give the badge up if it meant he could walk again. And I feel exactly the same. The difference is he was never going to be able to turn down his disability, but I can, and I'm determined to do so. There can be advantages to being disabled. I mean, for a start, it's okay to take the piss. Look at the tagline on my website, The Diary of an Overweight Cripple. Someone said to me, you can't call it that. I said, why not? I am. It's not as if I'm saying something that's not true, and being one makes it all right to say so. I mean, the other day I was talking to someone about a place I was going. She asked if I'd let her know if it was wheelchair friendly. I responded without thinking. I literally just said, why? You're looking for somewhere to take your dad? Let me explain, though. Dad isn't disabled, nor is he in a wheelchair. It was just me having a dig that he's getting on a bit. Now, maybe I shouldn't have said it, but it was just a joke. Obviously poking fun at him. And I know, clearly, she was generally now asking for somebody. Luckily, she smiled, though, when she replied, no, me daughter. Ooh. I apologised. She said, oh, it's fine. She generally wasn't offended. And I got away with it because she knew I meant no harm. And because I'm in the same position myself. Still felt a bit crap, though. When I was first diagnosed with my hip problem, I mean, I'd never thought I'd be classed actually as disabled. I've spoke before about how I put off using a walking stick for ages and how much it actually benefited me when I finally did. The same was true for not applying for the blue badge. I should have done it much earlier, and now I wish I had. In order to actually qualify for one, you need to have an assessment, just to make sure you're not a lying tow rack trying to fleece the system. The current name for this assessment is called PIP, P-I-P, which means Personal Independent Payment. This is split into two parts, one for mobility and one for daily living. Basically, if you don't get enough points from either or both of them, then you fail and you can't have a blue badge. So filling the form correctly is important. And if anyone's thinking of doing it, get some help if you're not quite so sure. I like to think the system's a bit better now, but when I first applied, it was horrendous and everybody was getting failed. It seemed that if you could make it to the assessment, then they looked like there was nothing wrong with you. I was only told this afterwards that I should have requested a home visit. It's also worth noting that during it, best not to try and demonstrate how you struggle with doing something. And let me give you an example. So I went for the assessment the first time, and the woman asked how I managed to get dressed. So I actually stood up and I reenacted putting my shorts on. Now, obviously, I didn't actually take them off, but maybe looking back now, I should have. And then she'd have seen how much I really do struggle. Instead, I was treated to having her words read out in court when she explained how I showed dexterity during the demonstration by using my walking stick handle to slowly pull the shorts up my legs and sliding them across my thighs. I don't know if I was more shocked at hearing the near explicit words or the fact that the judge, doctor and solicitor listening to the appeal actually thought I'd taken my pants off. I expected the final part of the description to sound something like, then he slid his hands around the waistband, adjusted them over his buttocks, gently caressing each cheek. Yeah, I think she'd just be reading too many Jilly Coopers. I actually went to court 3 times for different appeals. Every time they ruled in my favour, but the government muppets tasked with making the decision with the same skills as a slightly intelligent ape who's learned to recognise shapes. Actually, scrap that. The ape was cleverer. It was a long, hard slog, but like I said, things have improved, so I'm told. But if you find yourself in a similar situation and they keep taking you to court, just keep going. Don't let anything put you off. If you are generally disabled and you need help, stick at it till someone finally listens. I mean, the thing is, no one chooses to be disabled. You see, you know now that this is a live recording. I will not be editing that out because I can't. Anyway, nobody chooses to be disabled, and many of us don't like to admit it. But the sooner that you ask for help, no matter how small, the easier life will become. Getting the blue badge was a huge boost for me, and I'm not talking about the 2-for-1 deals on tickets. Though that is a bonus, and I'll get onto that soon. Parking closer to wherever you're going, that's a massive benefit. But for me, the biggest thing is the extra space. I need to open the door fully, otherwise I literally can't get in or out. Those normal tiny parking spaces are no good. And no, that's not just because I'm fat. I've got a friend who only has one leg. Believe it or not, he struggled to get Pip at first as well. I know. How does that work? Guess if you have no arms or legs, you get an instant shoo-in, but anything more goes to appeal. Anyway, he made a suggestion to me to get a wheelchair. He told me he used one when he took the dog for a walk. Said it helped him get around a bit further and took the pressure off his one leg. He insisted it had helped me, so I thought, I'll look into this and I'll hire one. I saw the Red Cross did them for a 6-week period. So off I went. I had to be checked out. Apparently I was too big for the normal one, so I had to get that bastard size, which of course meant the chair was a bit heavier due to the extra strength it required. The first time I used it was to go to the local swimming pool. It was only a few minutes away, and the level was flat, nice smooth paths. Now normally I'd have to drive, even though it was close, still too far for me to walk. So obviously I set off in the wheelchair. I can't tell you how hard it was. When I got there, I was absolutely knackered. I mean, obviously my friend had told me when he used to take the dog, he must have tied it to the chair to pull him along. When I got there, I was sweating more than a scouser after a maths test. Sorry, even before a maths test. Don't worry, it's okay to say that because I know where my podcasts are downloaded and so far there's none in Liverpool. This was probably the first and last time I used a chair on my own. It came in handy though once when I went to a pop-up theatre. Shakespeare's Globe was recreated and the idea was just like the original. Mostly standing room, which was of course designed to make it cheaper and help bring acting to the poor. I mean, this is in Shakespeare's time, so they wanted to do it the same. Of course, Shakespeare's not known for the short productions, so you'd be standing there for quite a while. Unless you had a wheelchair. Cute teenage daughter pushed me, so she got a ticket for it as well. And she got a chair to sit on, so she didn't have to sit on my knee for 2.5 hours. What a result for both of us. I won't lie, though, I was quite happy to hand the chair back after 6 weeks. The experiment hadn't quite been the success I'd hoped for. I did use one twice more, though, both times when my son and granddaughter weren't visiting Zoo and Safari Park. Absolutely no way could I walk round either. So we borrowed a chair. The thing is, I couldn't get my feet on the rests because it hurt to bend my legs, so I just had to let them hang. Being the git my son is, he kept pushing me into things. Not a pleasant experience, and one I'll be getting him back for when I've had my operation. As I mentioned, though, there are definitely some perks involved with being disabled, and you don't always have to have a badge to prove it. A few years ago, well, just after I was diagnosed, basically, I went on a tour of Scotland with my two daughters in a caravan, driving it round. Thought it might be easier than a tent. One of the days, we were on a campsite just outside Edinburgh, and we all wanted to go and visit the castle. So I rang them up and had a chat, made the booking. I mentioned that I was disabled. I didn't tell them properly that I didn't have a blue badge. They obviously asked, and I said, yeah, just mumbled. Of course, when I got there, the plan was to just pretend I couldn't find it. Hope that they'd see how bad my legs were, take pity, and let me stay. I mean, I figured, what's the worst they could do? Just ask me to go and use the nearest car park because I can't find my blue badge. Then watch me as I drag my crippled body up the hill. Anyway, on arriving in Prince's Street, I began to regret my attempt at blagging a parking space because the festival was on. The streets were mobbed, not to mention blocked off. As we turned the corner, there was like a checkpoint. Two soldiers were standing there. Luckily, they came across. I explained my situation, and they just happily lifted the barrier. Off I drove, waving happily as my two daughters hid in the back, telling me I was embarrassing, and, well, if only they knew what was to come. Driving up to the castle, past the seating being built, we were directed to the spot. Surely now I'm going to be asked. No. Just got a friendly wave and the guy's gone. We literally got out the car and I'm looking round. Nobody's asked me. I says, come on, girls, we'll be fine. Let's just walk to the entrance. In my mind, it was now too late to be asked for the badge. And I was right. We were in. Now, the girls wanted to see the crown jewels. We made our way round and as I looked up, the queue was huge. Snaking up stairs round. Oh, it was just horrendous. And then someone mentioned it was going to be at least an hour before you actually got in to see the jewels joining the end of the queue. Now, the time wasn't a problem waiting, but there's no way that I could stand that long. So I thought maybe if I can just put the girls in the queue and I can join them when they get a little bit closer. So I went to speak to a woman who worked there. And she says, no, no, come with me. Obviously, she didn't say it like that. She was Scottish. I followed her. Off we went, down the corridor, into a lift. I looked at the girls, no idea where she's taking us, what we're doing. The lift went up, the doors opened, and right in front of us were the crown jewels, with a crowd filing past slowly. Oh, God, the girls were mortified. I can't believe you, this is so embarrassing. Oh, just stop moaning, I said, just go and have a look. Be all right. No one will mind. The woman stepped forward to halt the crowd and ushered us past the jewels like we were some VIP guests. I was going to make a comment, but I decided it didn't seem right. And clearly the girls had had enough embarrassment for the day. But I've got to say, I was saved. No stairs. I love Edinburgh Castle. Fantastic staff. When I called them, though, I genuinely needed some help. Not just because I didn't actually have a badge at that point, it shouldn't have mattered. And let's be honest, it didn't. Getting in cheap, well, that would have been taking the piss, wouldn't it? But all I actually wanted was some help. I just wanted to make my visit doable. Without what happened, the best I would have got was sitting in the cafe while the girls looked round on their own. And I do honestly feel there should be a system in place at attractions everywhere where anyone who needs help can get it, despite whether they have a blue badge or not. I do realise this leaves it open to some who take advantage. But, you know, surely kindness and assistance for anyone that needs it shouldn't come down to whether or not some government titters decide if they qualify. This was the only time I did anything like that. And I've got to be honest, it was the reason I finally applied for the badge, understanding how much I really needed it, especially if I was to have some sort of normal life. Of course, though, there's nothing worse than some able-bodied person using something meant for the disabled. The obvious being a parking space. I mean, this used to annoy my dad so much that he had a book of stickers. They used to slap it on the windscreen of anyone who parked in a disabled spot that didn't have a badge. As I remember, it read something like, "You've taken my space, do you want my disability as well?" The thing was that they stuck really well. You know, you usually scratch the windscreen as you scraped it off. How he wasn't punched, I've got no idea. Bless him. But I do understand why it made him so angry. At least with a car, though, you know if someone's disabled, because they display the badge, or not. But it's very different at the toilet. Now, you've probably noticed that a lot of disabled toilets have a stupid sign up outside that says, "Not every disability is visible." Yeah, clearly written by someone suffering from slight anxiety, too lazy to walk the distance to the male, female, or not quite sure what I am cubicles. The only benefit from using it is it's got a bigger mirror, and it's wide enough to fit your shopping trolley or suitcase in. There's no thought given to the woman in a wheelchair waiting patiently outside, trying hard not to think about waterfalls, or some guy sat reading the paper using a grab rail to rest his elbow on. The same rail that someone with knackered hips needs to lower themselves onto the toilet. Yeah, I think you might have guessed that this really pisses me off when I spend 5 minutes waiting. And then the person finally emerges, not even fading a slight limp, and they just stroll straight past you as though nothing's wrong. Well, let me assure you, if it's me waiting outside, you're not getting away with it. Happened literally just the other day. Some guy walked out and he tried to push straight past me, not even a courtesy of holding the door open. So I said, nice loud voice, "Excuse me, this is a disabled toilet." Now, maybe if he just apologised, that would have been it. But no. He closed the door and he pointed, didn't say anything, but pointed at the twatty sign. I took this as a declaration of war. "Oh yeah? So what's wrong with you?" "Clearly not much. And as far as I'm aware, being stupid and ignorant isn't a disability. I mean, the fact that he was wearing black work clothes with a high-vis vest saying Amazon on it didn't help his case either. If there's one thing I've learned, you can't beat a man who's right. And seeing as a whole supermarket stopped to listen to his roasting, I'd like to think he's not going to be doing that again. I am surprised I've not seen it on TikTok. I did think someone might be recording." The last thing I'm going to mention on my little blue badge rant, and I'd never make light of having one for monetary gains, though let's be frank, you do get a 2-for-1 deal when visiting museums and attractions. And of course, the second person that you're supposed to get in for free comes in the form of a carer. Now, the definition of carer is someone who's with you that can help and assist with any issues that you might have during your visit, and not some lass you're just taking out for the day. Usually, when I did use this, it was my son who came with me, and even though he's a bit of a git, some of the time he generally did help, and he was useful whenever we went anywhere. I did, though, to be honest, on a couple of occasions, use the 2-for-1 offer when I was taking a female friend with me. I used the term friend because that's all it ever was. And I blame the fact that she might have overheard me booking us in. Not the wisest move, and I recommend to any blue badge holders thinking of taking a date somewhere and trying this, book online so they don't overhear you at the desk whispering, "Karen." It didn't help either. I don't think she quite understood how bad I was on my legs, which, till I couldn't manage to go up the rickety staircase. Stairs are quite often a problem for me, especially at home. I literally do try to go up just once a day. That's when I'm off to bed. And the ones at the stately home I went to, well, they weren't very even. And I figured not attempting them might be slightly less embarrassing than if she saw me bounce down on my ass. Since that experience, I've decided to give girls a miss. Well, at least until I've had my operations. Let's be honest, I've got enough looking on after myself. Being an old school gentleman, I always do the proper things for women, like hold the door open and let her walk through first, as I was brought up. But you'd be surprised how much this changes when you have a walking stick. The amount of times recently women hold the door open for me. Strange to get used to, and especially if she's older than you. This actually happened the other day as I was leaving McDonald's. Yeah, I know. I shouldn't have been there. It's not good for the diet. I was only having a coffee. I've started walking really strange recently due to the hips. It's getting worse. I almost walk sideways with a slight shuffle. It's a, weird. Anyway, I got up and I headed for the door. Some woman looked in her 80s. She was coming in and she held it open for me as I started to hobble towards her. "It's okay," I said. Just let it go. It'll take me a minute to get there." "Don't you worry," she says. "Take your time. I know what it's like. I had an accident here as well last week. That McFlurry went right through me." See you next time. That's it for this episode. If you managed to listen all the way, I'd like to say a massive thank you. Please get in touch, even if you thought it was crap. I'd still love to hear what you think. All social media and contact details are on my website, keithmulhern.com. I hope you enjoyed listening and I made you smile. If so, please tell others. If not, well, just, I don't know, lie. See you next week.